Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Becky Metcalf, and on behalf of Design Centre Chelsea Harbour, a very, very warm welcome to this afternoon's session. I am not surprised we are so busy. We're doing a series of workshops with KLC School of Design, and we are very, very lucky that it's taking place in the Baker Showroom. If you don't know the brand, it's one of the best known American furniture brands, and we're delighted they have a showroom here. They collaborate a lot with guest designers, so there's always a sort of evolving and changing range of products to see and to admire. Today's speaker is Nicola Burt, and she's going to introduce herself and tell you a bit more, but please, in the meanwhile, give her a very big welcome. Nicola Burt.
Thank you. Am I switched on? Oh, I am. Thank you. Welcome to this talk. It's a talk about storage and decluttering. And thank you all for coming, and I hope you enjoy it. As Becky said, welcome to the Baker Showroom, some beautiful furniture here. I'm a tutor at KLC School of Design, but I'm also an interior designer. So I work mainly in residential projects, but I've also worked on show flats, on holiday apartments, and some small commercial projects. So as an interior designer, one of our considerations is when designing a space is what we can do to make it feel spacious and calm. So a surefire way is to get rid of what isn't necessary and make sure that there's enough storage for what is. So I'm going to talk to you about storage and decluttering, but first of all, I just wanted to give you some tips to help you to clear the clutter, and then I'm going to show you some storage ideas to help you keep it under control, okay? So first of all, could I just ask you to make sure that your phones are switched to silent, and then we'll get started, okay? So the greatest wealth is to live content with little. Okay, Plato said this over 2,000 years ago. So it seems that clutter isn't a new thing, and it's something that we have been battling with for quite a while as human beings. So this is our goal. Our goal is to declutter in order to achieve peace and serenity in our homes and our lives, and to be happier with less stuff. So is this more of the reality for most of us? Perhaps it's not as bad as this. Obviously, I, you know, went on the internet and found a really extreme example. But if we don't keep on top of it, you know, it can accumulate at an alarming rate. So here's another one. Especially if we have, you know, more than just ourselves to think about and tidy up after. So obviously, as I said, these are extreme examples, but we are all guilty of having more stuff than we need. So today I'm just going to take you through some tips, as I said, to help you to keep clutter at bay in the most common areas of the home, just to help you take control and feel lighter and better about yourself. So clutter happens for different reasons, and I thought it would just be a little bit of fun to start by looking at some clutter personality types. So we'll call these, the first one from left to right, the hoarder, the deferrer, the rebel, and the perfectionist. So they're by no means definitive or even scientific, but you know, see if you can spot yourself in any of these. So the hoarder says things like, this might come in handy someday. So my youngest child is a hoarder, okay? He doesn't want to get rid of anything, but he just keeps accumulating more and more stuff, and it's all very important, okay? So hoarding is rooted in a need for security. So if you, you know, to let go, you need to remind yourself, if you're a hoarder, that resources will always be available. So, you know, if you desperately need that thing that you got rid of, you can always go out and buy another one. Okay? Not ideal, but you can do. So the deferrer says, I'll think about that tomorrow. Okay? And this is my husband. God love them. And everything goes up into that giant storage box called the loft to be dealt with and sorted out later. But remember, tomorrow has no more time or energy than today, okay? And the best remedy is action now. Okay, the rebel. Excuse me just a second. The rebel clutterer. The rebel says, I don't want to and you can't make me. My eldest child is a rebel clutterer, and he's also a teenager. Yay! So he will avoid, rather than tackling his mess. Okay? So if you think this is you, you need to tell your inner rebel, it's okay, I'm a grown-up now, and I want a house that's nice and tidy to live in. The perfectionist. Okay, so this is hard to believe, right? Because we would all think of a perfectionist as somebody who's got an immaculate house with not a bit of clutter in sight. But actually, quite often, the opposite is true, because perfectionism makes it hard to make a decision. So, you know, you hold on to things, say, for example, that you really want to donate because you want to find the perfect charity or the perfect person to give it to. So it ends up just sitting around the house, you know, waiting to be sorted out because you can't make a decision. So this is me. And I suspect probably a lot of you here can relate to this and identify with this one. But remember, and this is what I tell myself, perfect is the enemy of done, okay? And it's better done than perfect. Okay, so let's get started. So now that we've looked at some of the clutter personality types, let's see how we can take steps to conquer the clutter. So it's now spring, so it's the perfect time to do a bit of spring cleaning, do a bit of a clear out. And what I'm going to tell you is not big drastic changes, but they're just small everyday habits that you can incorporate into your life to keep the clutter at bay permanently. Okay, so remember, action is the enemy of clutter. And yes, this is an actual photograph of me. Okay, so before we start, I just wanted to know, if you'd heard of this decluttering challenge, the 40-day decluttering challenge, 40 bags in 40 days. It's been all over Instagram lately, and it actually started on the 6th of March, because that was the beginning of Lent. So we're a little bit late, but if you started on Monday, you'd have nearly 30 days right up until Easter, because you get some days off. And it's a really simple, but it's a great idea. So you get a bin bag, and every day during the challenge, you put an item that you don't need into that bag, and then at the end of the 40 days or the 30 days, you donate that bag to charity. Okay. So we'll get started with the entrance hall, okay? So how do we prevent the dreaded floor creep? So hang your outdoor things in a designated place as soon as you take them off. Your coats, your bags, your scarves, your bike helmets, all that sort of thing. Put plenty of hooks on the back of doors to hang everything up and keep it out of sight and out of the way. Put an attractive container near the door to hold shoes. So that means when anyone comes in, they can take their shoes off and chuck them in. So there's no tripping over shoes in doorways or entrance halls, which drives me crazy. Tripping over like size 9 shoes just abandoned in the hallway. So that's one way of sorting it out. So in the kitchen, get a box. Put all your utensils in it, and each time you use a utensil from the box, put it back in the drawer, okay? After a month, see what's left in the box. Do you really need what's left in the box? And if you don't, donate it. Another idea is to store cleaning products in clear plastic stackable boxes, and you could do this in the cupboard under the sink, for example, where you can really use that space. And this means that they're not just accessible, but you can, you know, clearly see what's inside each box. In the bathroom, I would say start by checking the date of all the products that are residing in your bathroom cabinets. Banish anything that's got, you know, that's past its use-by date. And with bathroom products, they usually have a shelf, and cosmetics, they usually have a shelf life of between 6 and 18 months. And a good rule of thumb is that the closer the product is used to the eye, the shorter is its lifespan. So obviously, you know, with clogged mascaras, dodgy lotions and creams all sitting in the back of your cabinets, just get rid of them because they're a health hazard. Okay? So this tip is called the reverse clothes hanger test. Okay, so what you do is, you know, perhaps once or twice a year, you know, whatever suits you best, say maybe at the start of summer and the start of winter, you reverse, obviously with the clothes on them, you reverse all the hangers in your wardrobe, so they're facing the wrong way out. Each time you wear something, you put the hanger back in the right way. If you take something out and you try it on, but you don't wear it, you put it back in the wrong way, okay? So no cheating. So after, you know, the period that you've decided, whether it's a month or a season or whatever, you can easily identify the items that you haven't worn because the hangers will still be the wrong way. And then you can get rid of them. So this is an alternative to the clothes hanger, to the reverse hanger test. So what you do is, everything you wear, put it into one of these four categories, one of these four piles. Clothes I like that fit. Clothes I like that don't fit. Clothes I don't like that fit. Clothes that don't fit and I don't like. Okay? So, get rid of everything in categories 3 and 4. Clothes I don't like that fit and clothes that don't fit and I don't like. Get rid of all of those. And get rid of most of number 2. Apart from things that are maybe too big. So anything that's too long or can be altered by a seamstress or a tailor and you really like it, hang on to that. So just keep category 1 and obviously any sort of big investment pieces that you've spent a lot of money on. So hang on to those, and then what you end up with is a fully functioning wardrobe, and then you can see everything as well. All the options are on view. Now, the loft. So when you're storing long-term items up in the loft, again, the way to go really is large, clear, plastic, stackable boxes so that they're protected from dust, insects, water, say if, God forbid, you have a roof leak. So you can easily see what's in them, but do label them so it's even easier to see. So you could use colour-coded boxes, for example, as well. So green and red for Christmas, orange for Halloween, yellow for Easter, that sort of stuff. So I would strongly recommend this because I've got a little story to tell you. I moved house a couple of years ago and, you know, we've moved house several times. So the last time we moved, I thought, okay, the time before that when we moved, there was only 2 of us. Now there's 4 of us. So now we have so much more stuff and I'm not packing and unpacking all that stuff again. Okay, so I thought I'll get the movers in, I'll get them to pack everything and then move it and unpack it and we'll be covered for insurance and everything. So I got them to do that and that was fantastic. So they got into the kitchen, they unpacked everything in the kitchen, you know, they unpacked, you know, the beds, all that sort of stuff, the big piece of furniture. And there was a load of, load of stuff. They said, what do you want to do with these? A load of boxes. And I said, just put them in the top bedroom. We're not going to use that. Just stack them there, leave them, and I'll sort it out later. So then I went into the room. When they'd gone a couple of days later after I'd sorted out the kitchen and all that sort of stuff, I went into the room and it was just a sea, piled high, floor to ceiling, of identical brown cardboard boxes. For, you know, and each of them had stuff and I didn't know what was in them. So obviously I wasn't going to sort them out all straight away because we had no storage in this house that we moved into, so I couldn't just put stuff on shelves. So they had to stay in the boxes for quite a while. But every time I went to look for something like a file or a book, you know, I would have to go through at least 20 boxes. And it was always the one that was the furthest away, in the corner, down the back. No matter what I was looking for, it was always that box because they'd get moved around. So that just drove me crackers. So, as soon as we were able and in a position to unpack all that stuff and all the books which were waiting for storage, which I'll talk about a little bit later, all of those went into these really big, clear, plastic, stackable boxes which are in the loft. So I can just look at them and I can see what's in them. So take heed, learn from my mistake. So with small storage, the trick to do is to store like with like and give everything a home so that it lives somewhere. So, and make sure everybody in your house knows where everything lives. So if you need to get a scissors or sellotape or whatever it is, that you go to that place and it's there. So it'll just save you all the time if you're looking for it. And sometimes what happens is if you can't find something, you think you've lost it, so you buy another one, so you end up with, like, you know, 20 pairs of scissors or 40 rolls of sellotape. So at least if you keep stuff together, it's organized. So, you know, in terms of conquering the clutter, put stuff back where you found it as soon as you finished with it. Constantly telling my children that. So now that we've, they're the tips that I've given you, so just little small easy tips for decluttering and, you know, keeping on top of the clutter. So I just wanted to look at some storage and ideas and solutions for you. So bespoke storage. So as an interior designer, I get asked about storage solutions a lot because obviously this is something that kind of goes hand in hand with interior design. And, you know, people want nice houses to live in. You know, they've got stuff that they want to store. So quite often I find myself designing bespoke storage solutions for clients. So this is an example of bespoke storage that I designed and had built for a client with a young family. So before this, you know, under the stairs. It was, you know, quite a high stairs. There was nothing there, absolutely nothing. It was just bare. So she needed something to house coats, shoes, scarves, all that sort of stuff, a buggy, scooters, and bikes. So, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. So if we hadn't built that storage in, that just would have been a dumping ground for all sorts of stuff. It just would have gone in there. Or if we had just built one big cupboard, it all just would have gone in there in a heap. So it's about sort of organized storage as well. So what we did was, in this, if you can see there, the sort of triangle there, the furthest one away, that is two doors that are hinged together. So when you open it, it kind of opens as one piece, so you've got the whole space, and the floor runs all the way through to the back, so the buggy can just be wheeled straight in and wheeled straight out, and so can the scooters and so can the bikes. So there's a space for all of them. The bench was part of the design as well, so that's where the children sit and put their shoes on, and the shoes are all stored underneath. So they've got three children, so they each have a basket each for their shoes. Now, these photographs are fantastic, sorry. But this was another piece of bespoke storage that I designed for another client who lived in a very small flat. So, you know, we did the bathroom, we did the whole flat, really. And we really had to work hard to sort of maximise all of the space. So this cupboard had three different functions. So it was essentially the utility room. And it was the home office because it stored the printer, like a wireless printer, and it stored files. And it was also a storage cupboard. So it was in the hallway, which was really tiny. So what we did was we designed concertina doors here as well. And I don't know if you can see. I'll go over here, see if you can have a look. The handles of the doors are here and here, they're in the same place on each door, so they're not together. So normally you'd have handles on a door that open like this. So these are like this, so you can pull it out, and it's on a track, so it's held together, because obviously they're quite heavy doors. So it's on a track top and bottom, so you pull it, you push it open, and you can just access everything. Okay? Now, do you remember when I was talking about the hundreds of cardboard boxes up in my loft room, and all the books are in clear plastic stackable boxes in my loft. So this is what I'm waiting for. So I've designed some bespoke storage for a wall in one of my living rooms. It makes it sound like I've got 10 living rooms. So in my other living room, which we call the media room, I've designed a wall of storage which is going to house all the books. So, and I've done it the way I wanted. I want lighting on it, and also there's a radiator in the middle, and it's quite a nice radiator. It's like a Victorian-style radiator. And I didn't want to block the radiator off because actually I want to use it to dry stuff, you know, to dry your laundry, and I think blocking that up would just be a terrible waste. So I've designed around it, but what I've done is this bit here, I don't know if you can see, number 5 across here. It's a metre wide, so it goes above the radiator, but I've designed a drawer. So it's a metre wide because I want to put all my wrapping paper in there. Because storing wrapping paper drives me nuts. And you can't find anywhere, and you put it under the bed, and you take it out, and it's all creased, and then you end up buying like 20 rolls of, you know, you constantly have rolls of, you know, Happy Birthday Toy Story wrapping paper, and it's not appropriate, and, you know, for your best friend, and all the rest. So I just thought, I want somewhere that's quite deep, quite wide, I can get all those rolls of wrapping paper in, I can put the sellotape, the scissors, all that sort of stuff. Sorry, would you mind waiting to the end, please? No, it's open. Okay, well there'll be enough of a gap, and this is a drawing. So, what I would normally do in a process, yeah, okay. What I would normally do is I would talk to the joiner because I'm not a joiner. Okay, so I will design this. So I'm not proficient in joinery, in electrics, because there's lighting as well, plumbing, you know, because the radiator is already there. But I would talk to the professionals that I have doing this and say, this is a drawing, it's not been built yet. So if they say to me, you can't do that, I'll put it somewhere else. Yeah? So it is just a drawing, okay? But it just shows you, and what I wanted to show you was, just the fact that, you know, with bespoke storage, it's fantastic because you can get what you want to fit in your space and your lifestyle. So you can actually get it made for you, for the particular things that you want. It's also not as expensive as you think because, with a competent joiner, they will build it to last. As I said, this is a current design of mine, but I'm waiting to speak to a joiner about it. So it's a work in progress. So maybe when I do this next year, I'll come back and you'll all come back and I'll show you the finished thing. So I just want to talk about beautiful storage as well, because storage just doesn't have to be purely functional, even though the things I designed weren't ugly, but they were more sort of on the kind of functional side. So beautiful storage exists as well. So this is a piece, I think it's called Marquetry, and it's from actually the Baker showroom. So I really would encourage you that if you've got time after this talk, there it is, look, it's over there. And just if you have time, just take a look around the showroom and look at the beautiful pieces that they have, because some of them have really cool kind of hidden storage options. I think this cupboard over here in the far corner has little sort of storage cabinets on the side, I think for storing wine and stuff. So have a look at those. So, you know, there's really beautiful, beautiful stuff. Obviously lots of it in the harbour. And this is here. It's absolutely stunning. And when I looked it up on the website, it says that, if you want it, it can accommodate a 36-inch flat-screen TV. So, if you have one of these, in your stately home, you can still watch Made in Chelsea or whatever it is that you like to watch. And then you can put it away and it's discreet and nobody will know the difference. So, for small storage solutions, for kitchen and laundry, now kitchens and laundries are, sorry, I keep pressing that, sorry, for getting excited. Kitchens and laundries are, I could do a whole talk. Oh, Aidan, yeah, it's, I don't know what it's doing. Hurry up. Yeah. Go back to there. Thank you. So, kitchens and laundries, I could do, it's gone again. Oh, it's playing slideshow. So can you? I don't want slideshow. Do I keep pressing it?
Press the wrong button. So just keep hitting it.
Okay, can you go back? Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Back one. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Just right. Yeah, and I'm not going to touch anything now. Okay. It's me, obviously. With kitchens and laundries, I could do a whole presentation on each. It's doing it. Touching anything. It's not me now. It isn't. So with kitchens and laundries, I could do a whole presentation on each of those, because with kitchens, it's really, really important, to get the storage right in those and to get the ergonomics right. And, it's a really specialist area. And with laundries as well, with laundry storage, there's lots of, stuff that, really clever stuff that you can do. Just wanted to talk about, with small storage ideas. So, they were just a couple of sort of recommendations of places to look, and you probably know all of these places. But Lakeland is absolutely fantastic for, doing things that, you can, they've got these sort of storage boxes but have handles on them, so you can actually just reach and pull them down, and then you can use them for pouring things. These things here, up at the top, and then these other things here are fantastic because they are actually undershelf containers. So they use all that dead space at the top of shelves where you've just got products and then you've got nothing. So that actually uses, so if you're tight on space, these are really, really useful. IKEA is brilliant. The holding company is brilliant. IKEA is brilliant because it's got lots of, budget-friendly options for everybody. And they're always coming up with new sort of products and product ranges, and they always seem to be sort of, in there on the trends. So, with stuff that's happening, and they've got storage for, every room possible. And Muji are fantastic because, they've got these really sort of clever Japanese storage solutions because the Japanese, well, come on to in a minute, are really, really good at sort of maximising small spaces. They're just a few ideas for small storage solutions. So, if you're feeling inspired and you want to sort of look into this more, there's obviously tons of stuff on the internet. There's tons of stuff on Houzz. There's tons of stuff on Pinterest. There's just tons and tons of stuff. But I'm sure you've all probably heard of Marie Kondo now by this stage. I did this talk a few years ago and nobody had heard of her, but she has written this book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, and she also now has a show on Netflix called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. And I actually watched the show for research last week, and it's actually lovely. She's a really lovely person, and she's got a really unusual approach to decluttering. She talks about, you know, the items that you have that, you know, do they spark joy? So if they spark joy, keep them. Some of you have heard of that. And if they don't, get rid of them. But she says, before you get rid of them, she said, you need to thank them for their service. I mean, it's absolutely bonkers, but it's brilliant. And on her TV show, you know, you've got people crying. You know, she's changed their lives. She saved their marriage. And, you know, it's amazing. That was only one episode. It was amazing. It was like, oh, my God, she's incredible. Right, hang on. So she's based in the States, but I thought it would be nice to look at, you know, a British-based declutterer. And obviously there's loads, but this is somebody I came across recently through my sister-in-law. She got her book, and her name is Vicky Silverthorne, but her company is called You Need a Vicky. And she was previously, she worked as a PA for a number of sort of high-flying people, including Lily Allen. So she obviously was a PA organising their lives, was incredibly organised, and people used to say about her, oh, you need a Vicky. So she thought, well, I might, you know, go and do this. So she has set up this company called You Need a Vicky, and she's also written a book called Start With Your Sock Drawer and the Rest Will Follow. Okay, so you can follow her on Instagram. There's probably lots of people, declutterers, that you can follow on Instagram. So it's worth sort of checking those out. And, you know, if you're feeling inspired to learn more about decluttering or kind of design other stuff, we've got lots of short courses here at KLC, which we're just right here in the harbour. We've got some little information here on short courses. A couple of short courses coming up that might be of interest. These are all one-day courses. One of them is, it's on the next course date is the 4th of April, and it's interior styling for beginners. So styling is just sort of the next stage, I guess, where, you know, you can kind of just learn about, you know, styling your stuff. So, you know, taking out the stuff you don't need and styling the stuff you have, you know, in a way that's, you know, aesthetically pleasing and appealing. Another course is, the Interior Styling for Beginners is on the 5th of April. That's the next one. And another course that we have is Experience Interior Design, and that's on the 4th of April. And that's a one-day course as well. And another course that might be of interest is the Furnished Interior, and that covers hard materials, furniture, and sustainable sourcing. So sustainable sourcing is obviously, you know, a big thing now. So that's obviously going to be quite interesting. And that's on the 30th of April. But all that information is here and more courses if you want to take one of those. And also our website, which is klc.co.uk. So I've got one final tip before I kind of round up and finish off. And it's a really simple one. It's always carry something with you when you go from A to B, when you move from room to room. So when you go from the car to the house, take something with you, that coffee cup or cup. I really don't understand. I'm really sorry. I don't want to upset anyone, but I really don't understand people who have messy cars. So you get out of the car, you go into your house. Take it with you and put it in the bin. Anyway, so from the car to the house, from the living room to the kitchen, from downstairs to upstairs, so never leave a room empty-handed, okay? If you want to follow us on Instagram to keep up with all our news and our happenings in the world of interior design, this is KLC, and it's at KLC School of Design. And this is mine, at Nicola Burt Interiors. And that's it. I just want to say a big thank you for coming and for listening. And I hope you've got some tips and some useful information. Feel free to have a look at the showroom. And if anyone's got any questions, I'm just going to get Becky to finish up. Oh, thank you.
Anybody got any questions?
If you're a bit shy and you want to ask questions, but you don't want to ask in front of a room of people, because I know that I don't like doing that, I'll be here for a little bit. So if you want to come up and ask me questions, you know, I'll be here for a little while, so feel free.
Well, okay. I don't know about you, but I am going to go home and tidy all my cupboards. I'm going to start with my
sock drawer.
And I'm going to bring peace and serenity into my home. And goodness me, how many amazing tips did we learn today? Some of which were just incredibly sensible.
Mm.
But there was so many good things that give everything a home. I love that. How sensible is that? But how reassuring. Nicola, you are a marvel. I loved it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Baker, for hosting us today. As Nicola mentioned, there are wonderful courses at KLC, short courses, career courses. And I think there's an open day next Saturday. Where's Amy? There she is. If you want to hear about KLC, do ask her as well. And let's give Nicola another round of applause. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
There was a timer on two of those slides, random.
Oh, really?
Someone had put timer on.
I probably copied it and didn't even know.
Anyway, a bit of a laugh.